praise the Lord. Hey, come on. He just said you guys are wild and loud. And I wanted to encourage you this morning that we have great weekend here in your area. Me and my wife, we enjoyed being here. Thank you, Brian and Linda, for hospitality. And thank you, Pastor Dave. And you guys have a great staff here. And John is funny. You know, he has an Egyptian blood in him somehow, you know. And as a worship team, we're very incredible. Can you give everybody a hand? And I would like to show you a video, but before this video, I wanted you to know I am a missionary in all over the globe for almost 38 years. Amen. And reaching out to Muslims and in Africa, in Europe, in Canada, Australia, and everywhere God is sending us, we go and we see lives got impacted by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, and people got saved. Millions of Muslims are saved in Egypt. 3 million came to know the Lord just the last 5 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. And 1 million in Iraq, 1 million in Iran, and the most powerful church right now and largest church, it's underground in Iran. You believe that? It's over 1 million Muslim people worshiping Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And as I go all over and see those great, incredible work, which your media never show you what's going on in the other side. But we go to the other side and we see incredible work of the Lord. And the Lord is working. And even if you're thinking he's not working, you will leave this morning with a belief that he's working. And I encourage you to start going and work for the Lord because the time is short. And we know the Lord is coming soon. Do you know how I know the Lord is coming soon? Because the scripture telling us the Lord will come with the sound of Trump. And Trump in the White House. Amen. And I'm excited. I am excited about our election this year. We will see miracles. And we will see the Lord fighting for America. And the Lord will bring miracles. And we will see a way in the sea. And Jesus will be glorified. And we need to pray for America. We need to pray for our president, and especially in the debate on Tuesday, that the Lord will reveal truth and reveal also deception from the other side. Amen. You can give the Lord a hand. And how many of you heard Egyptians are the funniest people in the Middle East? They consider us the Hollywood of Middle East. And they're giving me an opportunity to reach out to people in Middle East. The minute they meet me, you know, they love my accents, they love our Arabic Egyptian language. And I will tell you a true story. One day I was in Spain and I asked one of the missionaries to come with me because we were going to spread and smuggle 500 Bibles in my trunk going to Morocco. And Morocco is a Muslim nation, and to carry Bibles inside is forbidden, and you can end in prison, and maybe they executed you. And I told my friend, he's an American, I told him, come on, brother, let us go spread 400 or 500 Bibles in Morocco. He started getting color on his face, and he said, man, you're crazy, we'll get arrested. I told them, don't be chicken. Come on, you know. You are an American, you know, worst case scenario. They will send you back to America, but I will end in prison. Come on. And I pushed him, and he found himself in my car, and we start going towards the border of Morocco. And I have 500 Bible in my trunk, and we start praying, and we stopped at the gate of Morocco, and soldier with guns, and the guy asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Egypt. Immediately, he said, tell me a joke. Because he knows we are funny people, you know. And I start praying, you know, Lord, I need a joke. I have 500 Bible in my trunk. And the Lord reminding me with this joke, and I share it with him. He starts laughing with all the soldiers. And he said, open the gates to this guy. And that's how we got the name of our ministry, Open the Gates. And you praise the Lord. You can clap. That's fine. And we have a brochure outside. I need you to grab one for you and your family and pray for us. We have great, exciting stuff happening. We now in North Carolina, we building the Equipper Center. And we got a building in North Carolina, and you will see thousands of Muslims, women and Muslim men. Even they have a city in North Carolina called Islamicville, because it's the whole city are Muslim people. And also we started the Bible College, Arabic Bible College, Calvary Chapel, Arabic Bible College, and we have great news in this newsletter. I wanted you to go and grab one. And also, we have what we call ICC, International Christmas Celebration. And this celebration, we made it once a year in El Cajon City. And we have attendance around 500 Muslim people attend this celebration. And we give them gifts, we give them food, and we worship, we share the message, and you will see in the flyer here, Muslim people, we laying hand over them, and some of them accepting Christ, and we serving this refugees community, special Syrian refugees in San Diego. And God is really moving, and this year, because of COVID, we can't meet in El Cajon in a building because it's restriction for people to meet for a meeting, especially in California like this with big number. And we start praying for something to give to the kids in their homes. And my wife created a box with two dolls, Anna Maria doll and Hey Man doll. And I will tell you the story about Hey Man, how the story came. I was in Spain waiting in the airport, and in the airport I saw American people coming, greeting each other, Hey Man, Hey Man. I thought they saying Amen to each other. And I got excited. I said, wow, all Americans are Christians. And the second day, I landed in Michigan, and I saw same people saying, hey, man, hey, man, and they saying bad words in between. I said, this is weird Christianity here in America. But this is basically representing me with my glasses, curly hair. That's how my wife came with my picture. And we have a gospel message in the back of this doll. Anna Maria has a message of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and we try to talk about the Holy Spirit to many kids, Muslim kids around us. You need to stop by and see how God will lead you to sponsor one of our kids. Now, we start going to deep thing here this morning. I will show you a video how the African praise God, you know, in their meeting. When they come in the morning and I ask them to stand and praise God, you will see incredible people, 300 pastors. I was training 300 pastors on how they witness to Muslim, and I asked them to stand and praise the Lord, just give the Lord the praise. And they shake the building. And I promise them, I will video you today shouting praise the Lord, and we will see if the American are shouting stronger or the African. Can you play the video? Praise the Lord. Now, I wanted you to stand, and you will be on all kind of network in Africa, in Australia, in Canada, and you better do better than this, okay? Because they have high expectation of America. Okay, when I count three, you shout and do whatever you wanted to do. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I think you are the winner. You guys are wild. That's I'm delighted to be here, and always funny stuff happened to us in the airport. One day I was coming from Philadelphia to Las Vegas. I was preaching in Calvary Chapel, Philly, Pastor Joe Foch, and after I shared at the foyer, a lady, she was working in the TSA. She doesn't have a time to speak with me personally, and she grabbed a copy of my book, and she started reading it and share it with other people. And while I'm traveling from Philly to Las Vegas in the airport, I went through the TSA checkpoint, and I put everything in my pocket, you know, in this plate, and the lady figured out this is me. And she starts shouting, "You are Daniel Messiah, I can't believe it. You know, I got your book, I am sharing your story." And you can imagine, she's loud in the airport, and I tried to cool her down. I didn't want people to think I have a bomb or something, you know. Especially, you know, I'm Egyptian. Usually, when they stop me and ask me, "What's your nationality?" I would tell I'm Mexican, not Egyptian. Yeah? You know, Egyptian is not good in the airport. But a lot of people start following me in the airport, and I start sharing my story in the airport, you know. And praise the Lord, try to get copy. We have limited copy in this trip. But if you want it, if we run out, we have another service. You can always go to Open the Gates and order copy for you. And this morning, I wanted to share with you, if you can open your gospel on the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And today's message, I title it, "God is God of the Impossible." God is the God of impossible. How many of you believe God is the God of the impossible? You know, how many of you heard my story? Raise your hand. Okay, I have some. The majority not. But I born in a Muslim family. And my real name was Muhammad Kamel. And I will share a little bit about my background because the majority of you did not hear my story. And we will dive into Ezekiel 37. I never heard about Jesus, and I have a friend for 12 years. He never shared the gospel with me. He was a chicken Christian. He never gave me a Bible. He never told me Jesus loves you, Muhammad. And everything I know about Christianity, about the Bible, is from the TV, the Hollywood. And everything there is really terrible. Why I would be converting to Christianity? And I was dedicated Muslim, praying five times a day. I memorized the whole Quran since I was 7 years old. And God is using that now to start leading Muslims to Christ using the Quran, showing them verses from the Quran, shows that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Lord. For example, I met the son of Saudi Arabian ambassador. His dad is the ambassador of Saudi Arabia in France, Mozambique, and another three countries. And he was in San Diego, and somehow this guy was dating a Christian lady, and he was walking through Balboa Park in San Diego, and he tried to convert this lady to Islam, and he gave her Quran, books, he brings the imam to her, and she kept saying to him, I'm Christian, I will not convert to Islam. You should convert to Christianity. But he is the son of Saudi Arabian ambassador, and it's really very hard for him to do this. And in the mind of all Muslims, they think Islam is a true religion, you know. And even some propaganda in our media saying that the faster growing religion in the world today is Islam. That's not true. It's not true. Because the faster growing religion in the world today is Christianity. Amen. And I will tell you some statistic, it will shock you. In Africa alone, there are 6 million Muslims accepting Christ every year. Every year. And you can Google this. How many Muslims accepting Christ? You will not see this on your TV. In Sudan, the most Muslim imams in Sudan predicting that Sudan in 2 years will be for Jesus Christ. You know, all Sudanese will accept Christ. And let us see the imam video. Chris, can you show the imam video? This guy is warning all Muslim imam about the conversion of Muslim in Sudan. Listen what he's saying.
علمت أن من يدخل النصرانية في اليوم الواحد قرابة 100 المهم الذي أود أن أقوله إن التنصير اشتد في الشمال أقول في الجنوب وأخشى إن بقي الأمر على ذلك لعامين فقط ألا يكون في شمال السودان موحد.
2 years. And by the way, I got this clip not from the 700 Club, it's from Al Jazeera, Al Jazeera TV, because they tried to stop the conversion of Muslims. And the good news is Jesus is working. Jesus is saving Muslims. And Jesus loves Muslims. And Jesus wanted to use the church today to reach out to Muslims because the door is open in a way I never see it in my 38 years in Christianity, to see how people are seeing vision and dreams. And back to the story of the son, of the ambassador son, you know, this guy, he was walking with his girlfriend in Balboa Park, and suddenly he saw Jesus' face on the sky, on the cloud, and he got scared. And suddenly a guy came, he gave him a track, and the track is a $1 million track with a church named College Avenue Baptist Church. And I was scheduled to speak in this church the following Sunday. And he read about this church. He went to church, and after he heard my story and heard how God brought me, he introduced himself, and I took him for lunch, and we start sharing about Jesus. And like I said, God is using my gift to knowing the Quran, knowing what Islam teaches, to show Muslim in a loving way, Jesus is Lord. And even according to the Quran. But most of the Muslim, they never read the Quran. It's like nominal Christian. You know, do you remember when you start reading the Bible? After you became a Christian. Before that, you're keeping your Bible on the shelf. Muslims are the same. They never read the Quran. They go to the mosque, like nominal Christian going to church, and they never pay attention to what is in the Quran. My calling and the ministry calling is to start building bridges between us as a Christian and Muslim, and showing them what even the Quran pointed to Jesus. And I start sharing with him about what Jesus did in my life, and I start seeing in his eyes he ready to accept Christ. I told him, do you like to accept Christ? He said, yeah, what I need to do? I said, pray with me. And I said, Lord Jesus. He doesn't want it to say Lord Jesus. I said, why you didn't want it to say Lord Jesus? He said, because the Quran saying Jesus is a prophet. It's just a man. I told him, but in another passage in the Quran testifying that Jesus is God. And I show him the verse. He said, okay, go ahead. Pray. And he starts saying, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. I said, forgive my sin. He does not want it to share, to say, forgive my sin. I said, what happened now? He said, you know, Allah never forgives sins. You know, there is no forgiveness in Islam. And what I can't pray, you know, saying, God forgive my sin, or Jesus. And I show him from the Bible how God loves him, and he wanted to forgive his sin. He said, okay, you know, go ahead, pray. And I prayed, forgive my sin. He said, forgive my sin. This prayer took me 1 hour with this guy. And finally, he accepted Christ, and we baptized him in La Jolla Beach. And praise the Lord, that's the son of the Saudi Arabian ambassador. I just wanted to encourage you to see Jesus is working. And if you look with me in Ezekiel chapter 37, yeah. Ezekiel 37, here is, we know the story of this chapter. It, most of the scholars call it the vision of the dry bones. And the thing interesting me in this chapter, we all know what happened to Israel, and Israel got calling Abraham and give him the land. And by the way, the Quran saying the land is for Israel. Do you believe that? Sometimes I sit with imams and Muslims, tells him, even your Quran telling Muslim and telling everyone the land is for Israel. And we know, you know, Israel became a great nation under David, under Solomon, and great things happen in during this time. But what happened is the Israel start getting far away from God, start worshiping other gods, other idols, and God became angry because he calling this nation to be his ambassador to all nations around them. And God sent the exile by the Babylonian. They came and they carry everything in Israel, all the kings of Israel, all the temple material, everything has been carried to Babylon, which is Iraq today. And Ezekiel was one of the priests in Israel at that time, and he carried to Babel. And he found himself in exile. And while he's in the exile, the Lord showed him this vision, the vision of the dry bone. But before he showed him the vision of the dry bone, in chapter 1, how many of you read Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel? Good. You know, it's a very interesting book. If you go to Ezekiel 1, here is God showing him another vision. And the vision he's showing him is really related to the vision of the dry bones. But to understand the book of Ezekiel, it's very important to get this vision. The first vision he starts seeing, he saw God as four creatures. And those four creatures were looks like wheels. Wheels. And wheels inside wheels. Wheels inside wheels. And there is smoke coming from those wheels. And in verse 7, it said in 16 and 17, and 7, 16 and 17, you see in 17, when they moved, they went toward any one of the four creatures, then they did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and the rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. And in verse 20, wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, because there is the spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them. Here we see God is showing himself to Ezekiel in this vision as a wheel. As a wheel. Wheel inside wheels. And those wheels, they have eyes. And the Holy Spirit in those wheels. And this wheel is moving. And the whole message today, I wanted you to see God as he showed himself to Ezekiel. God is working. God is moving. God is not that kind of God, you know, will get a red stop sign, then he stop. God is working. And Jesus said, my Father is working, and I am working. God is wheel inside wheels. Eyes all over. He see you. He see everything with his eyes. A lot of eyes in those wheels to give you a confidence. I see you, my child. I see you, my daughter, my son. God seeing you. You know, sometimes Satan come to you and telling you, you know, God does not see you. God is not working. You see what happened? Maybe you have an experience in your family, or in your health, or at work, and Satan start whispering lies to your ears and your spirit. You know, God in Ezekiel showing Ezekiel, I am moving, Ezekiel. And in chapter 37, he starts showing him the vision of the dry bones. And there is relationship between those two visions. God is moving, and he wanted his church move with him. God is moving. No stopping. God can do anything. And he wanted his church to move with him. You know, God is the God of the impossible. Nothing can stop God. You know, I have a lot of story I can show you. God is awesome God. From the book of Genesis to Revelation, I love the story of the verse in Hebrew, Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And this is part of my story. When I became a Christian, after I went to church in Egypt, and my friend gave me the Lord's Prayer, I was talking with God, questioning the title, Our Father in Heaven. I started opening the window. I said, are you my daddy? Are you my daddy? And suddenly, the Lord's presence was in my room. And I felt him hugging me. And his face next to my face. And he whispered in my ears, yes, I am your daddy. I am your father. It break my heart that I was lost for 23 years. Start crying. Why you left me 23 years? And you can imagine, my friend never told me anything about Jesus for 12 years. You know, God wanted a church is moving. Wheels like your God. Your God is wheel. Wheel inside wheel. Nothing can stop your God. Nothing can stop the church. And that's the promise of Jesus. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth, I give it to you, disciple. I give it to you, church. And after this experience with God, I decided to follow Jesus. And I changed my name from Muhammad Kamel to Daniel Abdel Messiah, which means Daniel the slave of the Messiah. And my life changed dramatically. And I decided not to be like my friend who is chicken. I decided to be like Paul, like Daniel, like those heroes in the book of God. They move with God. You know, they are not sitting. They are not watching what's going on, but they move with God. They move with God. Jesus said, my Father is working. I am working. Church, we need to start to see God as who he is. And I decided to carry the gospel everywhere in Egypt. I will stand in the bus and shout, hey guys, have you heard about Jesus? And the whole bus started turning. I start give the message. I decided to share the gospel with 10 people every day. I will not sleep. Said, Lord, give me 10 people to share the gospel with. And if I count them 8 before I sleep, I'm missing 2. Do you know what I will do? I will go to the street, stop taxi, and I will take taxi a couple of blocks. And who is number 9? The taxi driver. God is moving. God is working. And then I ask him to drop me. I take another taxi back home. And that's number 10. Church, try to make a commitment. Especially in this time. You know, to share the good news with 1 or 2 or 5. That's between you and God. But that's what I did. And I start sharing, I go to the high-rising building. And the minute the elevator closes, I have a captive audience. I will start sharing the gospel with them. From bus to bus, giving Bibles, giving tracts. Because I know my God is a moving God. is a working God. He wanted to move and get even countries, cities, you know, to be for the Lord and for Jesus Christ. And they arrested me and they took me to circuit police interrogation. And, you know, it's a long story. That's why you need to get a copy of my book, you know. And finally, they sent me to the attorney general. And this guy can put me in prison, can make me disappear, can do anything with his signature. And while we are, while I'm in his office, he interrogating me, the Lord gave me a message for him. I told him, Mr. Hisham, let me ask you three questions. If you answer them, I will go back to Islam. But if you didn't answer them, you need to read the Bible and be Christian very soon. And he said, go ahead. I said, the first question, does Allah loves you in Islam? He said, I don't know. I told him, where are you going if you die today? He said, I don't know. I told him, is Allah able to change your life? He said, no, Allah will never change anybody. You know, and I told him, Mr. Hisham, did you hear your answer? Allah does not love you. Allah will not take you to heaven. Allah is not able to change you. Why are you following Allah in Islam? Amen. And if any Muslim watching me online, or I'm asking you the same questions. Why are you following Allah? If you didn't have eternal security, if Allah does not change you, if Allah does not love you. And the attorney general turns the table and he starts asking me the same three questions. And he said, is God loves you in Christianity? I said, yes, God loves me. He came, he died for my sin. He carried the wages of my sin. He became a sacrifice for me. Yes, God loves me. He said, where are you going if you die? I said, I'm going to heaven. And I can prove it to you in your office. He said, how? I said, I know who you are. Attorney General with your signature. I will be behind the sun. I will be disappearing. But even if you do that, I know where I'm going. I'm going to my daddy, to my father. And he asked me the third question. Is God changing people in Christianity? I told him, of course. That's why I am in your office. Because Jesus changed me, you know. And you can imagine, Attorney General of all Egypt, and he's still alive until now. His name is Hisham Hammouda. And all the soldiers around him listening to this conversation. And he can't put me in prison so far because I'm witnessing to the change God did in my life. But he asked me two sensitive questions. He said, what do you think about the Quran? Is the Quran from God? I told him, don't be sensitive. Don't take it personally. The Quran does not worth 3 pennies for me. And that expression means it's false. And the guy who writes the report in his office, he told him, sir, do you want me to write this? He said, yeah, write this. This is a blasphemy. And the guy starts shouting, oh, Allah, forgive me. Oh, Allah, forgive me. And then he asked me the second question. What do you think about the Prophet Muhammad? I told him, don't be sensitive. Don't take it personally. Muhammad can be anything but not prophet from God. And the guy asked him again, sir, do you want me to write this? He said, write. And the guy starts shouting more and more, oh, Allah, forgive me. Oh, Allah, forgive me. And then Mr. Hisham signed my paper to put me for the rest of my life in prison. And he has an evil plan, but I was excited because now I will go to prison. I will be like Paul. I will be reaching the gospel in prison. And they put me in a cell, no bed, no cover, no shower. I'm not allowed even to go to the restroom. My restroom was a coffee can with sharp edges. And I remember I take my shoes to cover the edges to use it. And bugs and cold in December and the smell. And they lock me. All prisoners have free time except me. And all prisoners became suspicious. They said, why they lock this guy? He might be a very dangerous guy. And they start sneaking to my cell window. And from a small window, they start asking me, what's your crime? And I will tell them, a Muslim became a Christian. And guess what? The whole prison start hearing about Jesus Christ. And the news went to the attorney general. You know, the whole prison are turning upside down because of this guy. And my nickname was Bishop Muhammad in the prison. And Mr. Hisham signed the paper to release me after 8 months in solitary confinement. And it was great experience to see how God is moving even in hard situation. You know, I was, some people, they told me, oh, you know, you need to be politically correct. You should not answer those questions this way. But with God, my friend, God is real. God is moving. And we need to move with him. We need to carry the message to the people around him. And praise the Lord, after 8 months of solitary confinement, I got released. And, you know, I'm still alive. And Jesus is using me and taking me to places to convert many Muslims and using me in ministry. And that's the message was for Ezekiel. You know, the vision in chapter 67, the Lord took him. He said, the hand of God, if you read with me the first verse, the hand of God upon me and took me to a valley of dry bones. And verse 2, he indicated, indeed, they were very dry, very dry. Why are we studying this chapter? Because that is the calling of your church. That is your call. God wanted to take Ezekiel to the dry bones. Dry bones here, those are the people without hope. How we know that? If you go to verse 11 and read, he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. That's what the Lord wanted to send his church to. That's why he took Ezekiel and told them, let me take you to the dry bones. Church, we surrounded by dry bones. You surrounded by dry bones in your neighborhood, in your work, in your school. And I am praying this morning that you will see what God wanted to do in your life. He is working. He wanted to grab you in his wheel. And you start working with him. And God wanted to use you to save people, to touch a community, to turn people upside down, turn cities. It's not impossible for God, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you read deep in this chapter, the Lord asked Ezekiel, he told him, son of man, what do you think about those dry bones? Do you think they can live again? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you know better than me. You know, but the Lord start asking him again in verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that's what I wanted to leave with you this morning. You know, God wanted to use you because you have the word of God in your heart. Jesus saved you. You have the Bible. Go prophesy over the dry bones in your circle. You know, and you will see those dry bones standing, and life will come to them. I was a dry bone. I was a dry bone. And I remember I heard the message about Jesus in a conference after the Lord manifested himself to me as daddy, as a father. I was sitting like you in a conference, and the guy was saying, Jesus can change your heart. Jesus can change your life. And guess what I said? I said, let me test Jesus. I took a side, I nailed, and I said, Lord, if you're really changing people, change me. Change me, Lord. I was crying out 23 years in Islam that my life would be changed, but no change in Islam. And here, a preacher prophesying, he is saying the word of God, telling the people, Jesus can change you. Jesus can break your chain. Jesus can bring you out of sin. I don't know what is your situation, but our God is a God of the impossible. He can change your life, and he can turn your life upside down. And I started praying. I said, Lord, if you're really changing people, change me. And I never thought this will happen to me. Boom, shower of the Holy Spirit, and shaking all my life, outside and inside. And I start speaking in tongues. And I am in Presbyterian Church, you know, not Calvary Chapel Church. And everything start changing. My eyes, my mind. And I receive joy and power to carry the word of God to many people around me. And this is a command God gave to Ezekiel. And he giving to us this morning. Son of man, go prophesy over those dry bones. I didn't know what kind of dry bones, but I was there, and God is using me to prophesy over dry bones, and we see them coming out of dead and became life. That's here is they are spiritually dead. The dry bones here, people are spiritually dead, and God wanted to come to their hearts, but you have the word. You need to prophesy. Prophecy in the word of God, it has two kind of prophecy. Some prophecy is telling people about the future, but the prophecy he commanding Ezekiel to do, he told him, son of man, I wanted you to say to those dry bones, all dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He does not tell them about the future, but he commands them to believe in Jesus. He starts prophesying over them. And that's what happened with me and my wife one day. We were in downtown San Diego, and my wife saw a lady. She is sitting on the outside fence of Salvation Army, waiting for people to give her anything. And she is overweight, sitting, no hope, dry bones. Start talking to her. And she said she's living there for years, dry bones. And my wife will start praying over her, prophesying over her. And the minute we start praying, I'm telling you, we start smell bad smell coming out of her, and start getting great bad smell and bad smell. After that, everything gone. And my wife told her, Tammy, give me your hand and stand. She told her, I can't stand. I have a tumor, and it's all my body. I have been sitting, living, eating, entertaining here in this place. She told her, no, Tammy, you can stand. And in the name of Jesus, I command you, put your hand on me and stand. And Tammy started reaching her hand. And guess what? Now she put her hand in my wife's hand. And my wife is skinny, and this lady is a big lady. But she started pulling her. And guess what? The lady stand. And for my surprise, she started dancing. And she started jumping and singing Christian songs. And exactly, that's what we said. Wow, Lord, what are you doing? Here is the dry bones stand. The dry bone receive life by the word of God. And then if you go deep in verse 6, in verse 5, the Lord said, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And in verse 7, so I prophesied. You see, here is Ezekiel obeying God's command. He stopped prophesying, which is weird. You know, if you put me in a valley of dry bones and you're telling me preach for dry bones. I remember when the beginning of COVID, I went to church, big church, you know, they have like 10 seats in this church. But because of COVID, no personal one was attending the church. And they were recording my sermon online, but I was feeling, wow, I'm preaching to chairs. You know, you can imagine Ezekiel was preaching to dry bones. And he obeyed. He said, I start prophesied as I commanded. And the minute he start prophesy, he start hearing noise. And he start see the bones move. It's like Tammy. Bones to bones. You can imagine the fingers start jumping together. The hand start jumping together. Feet. Everything start moving. Because God is the God of work and moving. And he said, after he saw this vision, he still dead spiritually. But in verse 8 and 9, the Lord told him, I wanted you to prophesy that those bones receive my Holy Spirit. And he started praying, wind, Holy Spirit, come. And the Holy Spirit started coming. And he said, the Lord God, come, from the verse 9. It said, come from the four winds, breathe and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied. And as he prophesied, guess what happened? The end great picture of a miracle. They start having life, and they stand as a great army. And this is what's happening to the physical Israelite today. You know, this miracle showing us God is God of miracle. And God can do miracle in your life. I don't know where are you with your faith, but I know one thing. If you trust Jesus, if you do like what I did, remember, you're looking at a Muslim background. I never know anything about your God. I never read the Bible before. And when I start asking your God, show me your power, change me. Your God changed me. And I became a new person in Christ. Jesus can do it to anyone this morning. If you did not have this experience and Jesus is not in your heart, you are dead. You are dead. And you will be dead for the rest of your life. Not only here, eternity. But if you with simple prayer said, Lord, change me. Come to my heart. Do your miracle. The miracle you did in the valley of the dry bones. Come, Holy Spirit, and give me life. And I guarantee you, you will dance today. You will come at our table. And by the way, my wife loved to dance with those people. You know? Yeah, you will dance. And you will see God's movement in your life, in every area. That's what happened to me. My son died, my first son. And I received the call, your son is dead. Your son is dead. I came, and I saw him in the body bag. I start crying, and I bow next to him. And while I'm crying, the Lord speak to me. And he said, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. When I heard that, I connected the pieces. Wow, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, he was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. Then he can do it today. And I started praying a short prayer. I said, Lord, show me your glory. I wanted to see your glory, Lord. And guess what? The minute I finished this simple prayer, my son starts screaming inside the dead bag. And everybody was shocked like this because they were there half an hour before even I arrived. And they opened the bag and they said, he's alive, he will be alive, but we need to take him to the hospital. At the hospital, the doctor came with a big bottle of water and he said, don't put your hope high. Your son will be vegetable. And with the English I have at the time, the word vegetable, it means a vegetable we eat. You see, your English is weird. Yeah. You know? And I look at my friend, I said, my son will be vegetable? What does that mean? You know? And he started explaining to me, and the doctor said, he will lose his sight, he will not hear anymore, and he will not recognize you. You know, when I got this bad report, guess what I did? I took it to my God. I took it to my dad. In the reception area, I said, Lord, you heard the doctor. I am surrender my life. If you heal him completely, I will go anywhere with the gospel. And guess what? After 4 hours, I went to wake him up. I said, Josh. Suddenly, Josh opened his eyes and he did like this to me. That's how we play. And I know that moment that Jesus healed him completely. We grab him, start shouting, Jesus healed my son. You know, all the wires connecting to machine start beeping at the nursing. They rush, said, you crazy, what are you doing? Said, Jesus healed my son. And they said, okay, let us examine your son. They examined him and they said, you know what? We heard about miracles, but today we saw one. Your son is completely healed. We will keep him for 24 hours, and tomorrow you can pick him up. And we picked him the second day, and he's 34 years old with a grandson, 2 years old. Praise the Lord. This is your God. That's why I'm excited. I'm excited. Miracles will happen in your life. How many of you excited? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let us pray together. And if the worship team can come, and we just wanted to pour our hearts in his presence. He is a loving God. He's a loving Father. He wanted to touch you. My friend, it's not by an accident. I am here today, this morning. It's not an accident. You are here this morning. And God wanted to touch you in a special way. He gave you a clear message. He is God of the impossible. He's telling you, where are you, son? Where are you, my daughter? You know, you have fear. You are struggling. You are dry bones. Satan telling you, no hope for your life, for your situation. It's all lies. Because we read from the Bible about a nation, over 3 million people, they got carried to exile. They destroyed Israel. But because God promised his people in the Bible, 560 years before Christ, he told Ezekiel, I wanted you to write that. I promise to raise my nation back. I promise to make those dry bones great nation and army. And this promise is for you. Because Jesus also promised us, if you believe in him, if you accept him, You will never die. He will give you eternal life, and He will give you the Holy Spirit, and river of the Holy Spirit will run from your belly.
Hey, we want to thank you for joining us online. We're excited that you found us here at Calvary Castle Rock. The scriptures tell us in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so if you have done that, if you have made the decision, you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross, that you have confessed with your mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, we want to say congratulations. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. We would also love to hear from you if you've made this decision and answer any questions that you might have about what it looks like to follow Jesus. How do I find a church that believes and teaches the Bible? The importance of discipleship now that you've made this decision. We would also love to send you your first Bible as a free gift from us at Calvary Castle Rock to celebrate your decision to follow the Lord Jesus. So all you have to do is go to calvarycastlerock.com, click on the link Know God, and then fill out the form so we can get a little bit of information from you so that we can send you your free gift. Again, congratulations. We would love to hear your story. We would love to connect with you, and we would love to pray with you. Lord bless.